You're listening to the God Guns Liberty Podcast with JC Holmes.
Welcome to the God Guns Liberty Podcast. I am JC Hall, coming back at you today. Appreciate you guys being out there. We have a special show today. We're going to talk about the Sheriff movie, Noncompliant 2. We just went out to Texas to Capernaum Studios outside of Fort Worth. Had a great time and was a film festival. The film was nominated, or both films were nominated for a few awards. And ended up coming home with three awards from the Noncompliant franchise. It was good opening up to a new audience, people getting the message, especially people in the faith world, the church world, which I think is a group that needs to hear this message. And so encourage you guys to go out and watch Noncompliant 2, The Sheriff. You can find that at noncompliantmovie.com. So this is based on Chris Ann Hall's teaching. By the way, you go to noncompliantmovie.com, you'll see The Sheriff there available for you to watch for a small fee. So you can buy it right there. But then the first one, Noncompliant 1, the first one, just when you get to the Noncompliant Movie page, just scroll a little bit. And right down there, you'll see a little banner that says watch Noncompliant, the first one, for free. So you can just watch the first one right there and then watch Noncompliant 2, The Sheriff. And you'll have all of that. And then maybe we'll be making some more movies. It was pretty interesting being out there. Who knows? We'll see what happens. So today, those of you who have watched the movie, The Sheriff, noncompliantmovie.com, to The Sheriff. Some of you listening, some of you watching the podcast have already seen the movie. And so you'll know really what is the movie. It's the story of two sheriffs and two pastors during the pandemic, during the lockdowns of the COVID plandemic. And a true story, not story in the sense that we made up a story, but true stories. It's a documentary. So we capture the story. There's two events that happened, two pastors, two sheriffs. One sheriff arrested a pastor for having church, and the pastor went to jail. Another sheriff stood up for the pastor, when the state of New Mexico, the governor of the state of New Mexico, basically sent the state police after the pastor, trying to shut the church down, trying to throw the pastor in jail. So the state, the full force of the state of New Mexico, the government of New Mexico, coming after this one pastor in Truth of Consequences, New Mexico. And the sheriff there stood up and said, no, it's not going to happen in my county. Not going to arrest a pastor for having church. And so we capture the story. That pastor is Pastor Caleb Cooper out of Truth of Consequences, New Mexico, New Hope Revival Church in Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. And we have Pastor Caleb Cooper with us today. So we're going to be talking to him about all that went down and, you know, all the stuff that we have in the movie there that we captured. He can tell you all about that firsthand. And you can see him in the movie. Great preacher, great storyteller, right? He's really good at conveying what happened, what went down. So really appreciate him, and great man of God doing a good work out there in Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. So you'll get to meet him via the God Guns Liberty podcast today. So let's play the trailer first before we bring in Pastor Caleb Cooper. We'll play the trailer that you'll see him right there that talks about what went down in New Mexico. Go ahead, Christian, play Noncompliant 2, The Sheriff.
I've got a voicemail on the church phone. The voicemail was from the New Mexico State Police, and the officer said that New Hope Revival Church is non-essential and must shut down. I knew I needed to connect with the sheriff. I knew it was the chief law enforcement of the region.
I remembered getting to attend a Chris Ann Hall seminar in Albuquerque. And she had talked about the Shire Reeves.
And I said, listen, I want to know if you'll stand for God Rags. And he looked me right in the eyes and he goes, Pastor, I will defend you even if it means I got to go to jail myself.
All right, welcome to the God, Guns, Liberty podcast, Pastor Caleb Cooper. Hello, my friend. How are you today?
I'm doing well, JC. It's a blessing to be on, and all of your viewers and listeners, I just greet you, and we believe that God's going to do some powerful things on this podcast. So,
awesome, man. Appreciate you. So we all just got back from Texas, went out to Capernaum Studios. You were there. The movie's got nominated for awards. Chris Ann picked up, three trophies, three awards out of there that night. And, it was all of that was Christian Film Festival, faith, supposed to be faith-based content, faith films and whatever. I wouldn't say our film is faith-based content per se. Like, we didn't set out, let's make a faith-based film. But it's about faith in the sense of, you and Pastor Rodney were standing in your calling, as well as standing for your God-given liberty. And, just something about the Holy Ghost stood up in you and said, no, we're not doing this. So, tell the folks, what this all about. We're trying to kind of tell the folks about the movie. You're in the movie. This is. This part is your story. What happened in New Mexico when people hear pastor arrested? I mean, that sounds crazy to a lot of people. So what went down? Tell the folks who don't know what happened.
Well, I think it's important as you're listening to this to recognize we've got obviously the story of two sheriffs. JC mentioned it. You've got two pastors. It's that the first pastor, I believe, and it's over 150 years, Pastor Rodney Howard Brown, being arrested in Free Florida, where, you've got a governor there that this is not supposed to happen in a state like Florida. The flip side is here I am in New Mexico. We got the most, I believe, tyrannical governor in America, and many of, the nation have seen her right now. She's making a public blast with trying to ban guns in Albuquerque. And so it would almost make more sense that, hey, in this state where she's extremely tyrannical, the story seems a little bit backwards. I should have been the one arrested over here and in Free Florida, Pastor Rodney Howard Brown, that should have never happened. But it reveals that the power lies in the sheriff, that you can have a tyrannical governor. You can have a governor that's fighting for freedom for not only their state, but contending for a nation. And the power lies in the chief law enforcement of a county. And that's where our story begins. When the lockdowns happened and the pandemic was in full force, it was interesting, JC, because I didn't have a lot of pastor friends to turn to that really were believing the same way we were. 90% of the church, I believe, shut down. And I just went to prayer. I said, Lord, what do you want us to do at New Hope Revival Church? And he said, son, keep my lighthouse open. This will be known as America's Great Divide and America's Great Storm. And I didn't realize that it was going to divide families. It was going to divide churches. I mean, there would be that conversation where Romans 13, which you do an excellent job dissecting in a proper way, would really be on the chopping block theologically to decide what we really believe concerning Romans 13. But for me, it was simple. It was Acts 5, obey God over man. And so when God said to me, keep my lighthouse open, I simply did that. And so we kept having services. I received a voicemail on the church phone from the New Mexico State Police, and you saw it in the trailer there, that New Hope Revival Church is non-essential. And there was this declaration from this law enforcement officer, you have to shut down. And that was the voicemail, essentially, that you're non-essential, shut down. And so for me, it was simple. It was confrontational spiritually because I thought to myself, I've never had a voicemail like this in my entire life. And I didn't even know this would exist in America, though we all preach and believe that in the last days, major persecution is coming to the church. But when it comes to your doorstep through the form of a voicemail, you pause and you say, Lord, I know I heard you right. What's the next step? And I really felt prompted by the Holy Spirit to go to the sheriff. And so I went to our local sheriff and I began to share with him. I said, listen, sheriff, you know, I've got this voicemail on the church phone. I've saw 29 sheriffs stand for gun rights when, you know, there was a conflict there. Will you stand for God rights? And he said, Pastor, I'll defend you, even if it means I got to go to jail. And so the story progressed from there. The sheriff done an amazing job, Sheriff Glenn Hamilton. He said, Pastor, I'll stand with you even if it means I got to go to jail. But he actually put actions to his words. And that's one of the challenges I think we have in America. Many people talk big.
Yeah.
We got potential lockdowns coming again. And everybody's saying, I'm going to stand. But if you'd have told every pastor, JC, in America, you know, January 2020, the government's coming, governors are coming, law enforcement's coming, things are going to be passed in this pandemic, unlawful overreaches are coming, and they're going to make a raw attempt to shut the church down. Probably every pastor in America, if they would have had that survey before, would have answered, nobody's shutting this church down. It's God's church. But what we found is many of them folded, and they folded quickly. And so that's what I could appreciate about the sheriff. When I stood, the sheriff didn't talk about standing. He showed up on Sunday morning, and we're talking gun on the side, badge, in full uniform, ready to stand and defend the God-given rights of our church. And he addressed the church on constitutional, you know, aspects and rights that God's given us and how he's going to defend them and how, listen, I was put in office by the people, he said, and I'm going to defend the rights of the people. And so it progressed, and I can continue through the story, JC, unless you got any questions right there. But
well,
go ahead.
Let me ask you this, and we're definitely going to finish the story. But you said, you know, you went to the sheriff. You had that thought of, I need to go talk to the sheriff. How did you get there? Like, what made you think of that? I mean, what were you? Was it, you said you saw these guys on the news defending the gun rights? I mean, is that kind of what planted the seed of, you know, what is the sheriff going to do?
I think it definitely planted some seed, you know, some slight dialogue within our congregation with a few people, but I really felt Holy Spirit prompted in mm-hmm. the sense, man, this is the last line of defense. I don't really know where else to go other than someone voted in by the people, you know. Yeah. And what was interesting about that, and I think this will serve as really a resource to the body of Christ and many across the nation, I didn't have, you know, some great relationship with the sheriff. There was no relationship at all, not because of anything negative. It's just we weren't connecting, and I knew who he was. He probably knew who I was, and that was the extent of our relationship. But it was a cold turkey situation, walk into the sheriff's office and start a dialogue down a path with someone, you know, they took an oath, but awesome. There was really no relational history there. And I think that's where we got to be, JC, in the last days is, we've got to get right out there in the front lines. It may feel uncomfortable. It may not feel good to our flesh. It may not fit our personality. But we've got a church. We've got a nation. We've got rights. We've got all these things that we've got to save to the best of our ability and at least contend for as we see things manifesting. So
let me interject this, and I don't want this to sound self-serving, but you know, it was interesting in watching a post Chris Ann made on Instagram, I think it was yesterday, talking about how they had defunded the Secretary of Defense and whatever. And, you know, she's been teaching for a very long time about the power of the purse and the House could defund agencies and agents and that sort of thing. And you know, she's ridiculed for that for a very long time. Anyway, one of my Instagram friends was like, you know, made a comment about don't say peaceful noncompliance. You know, that doesn't do anything. But yet, here we are. It did do something. And when you talk about going to the sheriff, that sheriff wasn't just any sheriff. It was Sheriff Glenn Hamilton, who, in fact, had gone through Chris Ann Hall's training about the role of the sheriff and about peaceful noncompliance. And so you stood up and peacefully said, I'm not going to comply. And then he engaged and looked to the governor and the state and said, we're not going to comply with this. In fact, they had already done that. Several, almost two dozen sheriffs had done the same thing about, I think, the red flag laws and different things in New Mexico. And the leader of that group, I mean, basically behind the scenes, I'm probably not supposed to say a lot of this stuff, but behind the scenes was in conversation with Chris Ann, and they were, many of them were trainees under Chris Ann's course. So in fact, it's not that peaceful noncompliance doesn't work. It did work. Here's a situation where it did work more than once, as a matter of fact, two situations, but in your situation in particular. So it is still a remedy if you have the boldness to do it and the right pieces there, if the people are informed about it and will have the courage to stand there. I mean, you had a sheriff who understood the principles of our God-given rights. He understood that separation of power and authority. He knew he was on firm ground, and he had the courage to stand. And you were in the same boat. I haven't heard you at any time sound like, you know, you were overcome with fear, overcome with nervousness. You felt spirit-led and just stood with that Holy Ghost boldness and conviction. And that was that. So
Absolutely. I
think what we're missing is courage. That's the key ingredient. People just need to have the knowledge and the courage and then take a stand.
And let me add to that, and that's where, you know, Chris Ann does an amazing job, obviously traveling the nation as well as yourself, training and equipping. I had no knowledge until we were interviewed, really, that the sheriff had such a history of being trained and equipped, where Chris Ann had come in and equipped sheriffs. And so sometimes you don't realize when you're training that at some point it's going to be executed. And this is one of those examples where, you know, we can talk noncompliance, we can equip with noncompliance and all the aspects that come with that and standing on our God-given rights. But this sheriff said, no, I know who I am. I know as chief law enforcement what my responsibility is. And there was training that I'm sure played over in his mind, you know.
Yeah.
And that's contributed obviously to Chris Ann and her impactfulness across the nation. And so I even encourage on this show, the sheriffs across the nation, they need to hear, not just watch the movie, but there's training and equipping available for the next storm, because we haven't seen the end of it, as you know, JC, and we're going to have plenty of opportunities to stand. We might as well get equipped to do so.
Yeah, and I'm not saying, you know, we don't say, well, this, you know, this is a guarantee and it work, you know, it's going to work everywhere, every time, you know, because you're not dealing with the same elements in every situation, for sure. And, you know, I mean, you see these J6 people thrown in jail, political prisoners, you know, all this sort of stuff. So, yeah, sometimes there's a price to pay. But what's the other option? You're either left with you're just going to roll over, or you have what I think my friend advocates, you know, pick up your guns and start killing people. So, you know, we're looking to forego those options, you know, if we can. And so anyway, we still believe that where it's possible, as long as it's possible, we should stand, take a stand peacefully and say no.
Absolutely.
So there we go. I mean, that's what you did. So the sheriff gets there now, and he talks to the congregation and talking about what their rights are, and then he tries to have you know, some conversations with the state police. Right? I mean, you were literally visited physically. They showed up at your door. Is that right?
Correct. And the visitation at my door was an event that occurred after. You know, the sheriff's heartbeat in this whole thing, JC, was not just the peaceful noncompliance aspect of where we were standing, but how do we find a place of resolution working together? You know, the two agencies hadn't had the greatest relationship, you know, over time, but the sheriff had stepped in and he had been really trying to heal that relationship between the two agencies. And so when they were given demands and commands that were tyrannical from our governor, he said, hang on here, let's talk about it. And so he called a meeting, and I had the opportunity to invite other pastors in the region. I got on the phone and I said, listen, guys, we're not closing our church, and you don't really have to close yours if you're willing to stand. But These same officers that could be visiting you at some point if you decided to stay open are coming to our church. And we literally opened up our church for, I believe it might have been the captain at the time and his leadership. And so we had four or five law enforcement agents come to the church, the sheriff, and he had tried to prep them. He really did. You know, they had a meeting the morning before. This wasn't really on the film, but I mean, it's not something we can't talk about. But he was trying to warn them. He's like, listen, guys, this guy's not closing his church. And they're just like, well, we think if we have the conversation and we talk through these things, basically they thought they could get me there. But what they failed to realize, and it's back to what you mentioned, JC, is faith, that we're to love not our lives even unto death. I'm willing to lose my head. I pledge my head for the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, that's just where we're at, you know. I'm not looking for opportunities to engage in that type of conflict. However, you know, like I told our congregation, you know, don't be afraid to come to church. What's the worst thing that could happen? If you were to catch this virus per se, you die and you go to heaven. Is that so bad? You got your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're seated in heavenly places. I mean, my God, you got a mansion waiting on you. I mean, we've got to get to a point where our stance comes from a place of our eternity being absolutely secured. And that was the dialogue with the police. I mean, I wasn't trying to convince them why I should keep my church open. I was just saying, listen, while you care, and we had the meeting, I said, why you guys care? Because they told me, they said, shut down. You need to shut down. My wife's in, you know, one of the officers said, my wife is involved in the medical arena, and you need to know that this virus is deadly and, you know, all the things that could happen. And I said, well, while you're concerned about someone dying over a virus, who's going to steward the spirit and the soul of a man? That's the job of the church. And so while you keep them from dying, what if they do die? And then there's no pastors, no churches alive, no one preaching the gospel where now they could actually come to Christ and their eternity be secured. And so I said, the only thing worse than someone dying of COVID-19 is they die of COVID-19 without Jesus Christ and burn in hell forever. We're not closing the church. We are here to preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And they said to me, they said, Pastor, why don't you live stream? You got this equipment in here. And I said, because the very Sunday this occurred, a man walked by our church on a Sunday morning, started weeping under the power of God, walked in and gave his life to Christ. Live stream wouldn't get that job done, okay? This man was physically walking, came in, and there's plenty more that walk the streets that need Jesus. And this house is going to be open. And so we had that point of contention there. We couldn't find a place of resolution, and that's kind of how we ended. I'm not closing. They believed we should. The sheriff made it clear to them and to me and to our church that he was going to be a barrier between the tyrannical government, the unlawful overreaches, and our God-given constitutional rights. He says, I'm going to be that barrier. I'm going to make sure I'm that buffer to make sure. And he did exactly that. And so the story continues, but that was the meeting with the state police in a nutshell. And we just couldn't see eye to eye on that.
So they're sort of still coming around or being sent. I think it became apparent they were being sent. So you couldn't get to a place of agreement. And they continued, I would say, what seemed like intimidation. Like they want to see if you're going to break, like if they could stay on you long enough, maybe you'd change your mind or buckle somehow. Is that how it seemed?
Absolutely. You know, we had a few issues where, you know, in the beginning stages, they were kind of pulling in and parking in the parking lot. As the sheriff, you know, stood his ground and established authority, you know, they were off to the right side in a residential area, just kind of sitting there parked. And you could see the distance there because the only way to say it is they met their match when it comes to law enforcement here. They wanted to enforce something, but they were resisted because,
you know, that's an interesting dynamic because it's apparent that they understood their jurisdiction. They recognized their jurisdiction. And that's the thing. As long as the people don't know, and then there's, you know, the sheriff's not there, the person with that jurisdiction is not in the place, you know, to take authority, then, you know, these federal, state, you know, all these different agencies will push as far as they can go. They will overstep somebody else's jurisdiction as long as, you know, you don't understand what they're doing and you don't push back. But I think it's an admission when them moving out of the way, you know, when the sheriff wasn't there, they were all the way in your parking lot, all the way up to your building. When the sheriff showed up, they weren't. So to some extent, you have to, I think they, you know, we'd all have to admit, including them, that they're not ignorant of the fact that they're overstepping their authority.
That's exactly correct. I mean, and I, you know, in between there, it was interesting. I believe there was one Sunday in there where the sheriff wasn't able to make it when things were real hot and heavy. And we saw that. We saw them pull in. I'll never forget a Sunday. I saw them zip right in. I could see through the glass doors at the time. Our sanctuary was structured a little bit differently since then. We've changed it. But I saw them, literally an interruption to my sermon, because I could see straight out the front of our church. And I saw him come in. Of course, one of the ushers kind of met him outside and some dialogue began. But it was still back to that whole, you know, shut everything down. And so from there, JC, it progressed. I mean, I think the sheriff recognized we're at an impasse here. We can't go any further. We've had the dialogue. We're trying to find a place of agreement. They're scared to death, obviously, to lose their jobs. I don't believe it was their heart to implement something that they knew was a governmental overreach. I'll never forget the day in the sanctuary when I talked about with passion, my heart for souls. One guy, you could see his eyes tear up, and this is law enforcement, because he knew we have now stepped into something, an arena spiritually that we've never had to deal with before. And they almost felt totally foolish to make an attempt to shut down God's house. I mean, he has tears in his eyes trying to convince me to stop doing what God's called us to do.
That's the scariest part of it. That to me is the most frightening aspect. And I think the thing that became so clear to me during the pandemic is how far, you know, ordinary people in these positions of authority would be willing to go. In other words, you know, how, you know, regular Joe off the street police officer in your community would suddenly turn into the Gestapo, just like that, drag you off to the gas chambers, while simultaneously not wanting to do it, knowing he shouldn't be doing it, but yet, because it's his job and whatever, he's just going to carry out those orders. So that was probably the most shocking, I don't want to say realization, because I kind of understood it, but seeing the depths of it, seeing the depth of the reality of that, that a lot of people just assume, oh, well, these are good people, you know, they go out and risk their lives every day, and, you know, he's my neighbor and this and that. And a lot of people assume those guys in uniform are going to be your friends in these situations, but there's a good number of them that won't be. Now, there's still plenty, you know, like the sheriff, that will stand on the side of right. But it's very shocking, the people that you don't think would carry it out. They're willing to do it. And it's pretty wild. So you have to be ready. You have to be prepared, not only for the situation. You better be prepared for eternity.
Exactly. And I agree with you on that. When you watch it, non-compliance obviously has a price tag for all of us. And for them to not comply with a governor that had given strict orders was a price tag. I mean, that meant your livelihood, you know, the very thing we're fighting for. So non-compliance, I mean, as it's being taught peacefully, you know, it still comes with, you know, a natural recoil and at times a spiritual recoil, you know. And it's, that was a sad part for me too, to watch a man and really a team of officers that they knew it was foolish, but they've got to go home to their family. They've got to eat. And it became very self-serving because the oath for them went out the window. And that's what's frightening, when your oath goes out the window, because listen, I'm going to lose my job if I don't execute, I work for the governor. That's a frightening place. And so that frightening place, I believe, is what brings compromise to the very oath, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. That, I think that's why it has to be something greater, you know? You're down to sort of the brutish, you know, the brutish part of man, where it's just about what you put in your mouth. Like, essentially, I mean, there are things... When you talk about principles, when you talk about faith, you know, there are things that for me, for my family, you know, for us, we are fully willing to lose everything. You're going to lose this job. Okay, fine. You know, Well, that means you might starve. You might be out on the street. You might be without a home. You might literally die in the street of starvation. Okay, that's fine. Yeah, that's a possibility. That could be a possibility. But that's what we're willing to pay. And so it is very sad. And you take that oath, you know, I swear to defend the Constitution, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, the question really is, okay, so are you willing to lose your job if they tell you to violate this oath that you're taking? And I don't know how many really mean it when they say it, if you talk about that level of commitment.
And that's where I think it's important in this last wave of 2020 that we come out of 2020 with enough testimonies of the power of God. And you guys have testimonies personally as well, where you stood and you saw the hand of God that exactly. He defends. You know, Isaiah 28 makes it clear that, you know, God gives strength to those who turn the battle at the gate, and those who cowered out and they won't turn the battle at the gate and they won't fight. There's no strength for them. I saw pastors as they refused to stand. They weren't getting any stronger. They were only getting weaker. Their finances were getting weaker. Their influence was getting weaker. People actually believing in them as a leader and an influencer nationally got weaker. And yeah, so the absolutely. Word of God was true.
There's no doubt about it. We only got stronger. We've seen the hand of God, you know, from the very beginning as we stood. Chris Ann's fired for teaching the Constitution. You know, and she tells the story of people seeing the story on the news, and, you know, we start getting people sending donations in the mail, you know, just small, tiny donations. And then a family sends, you know, some oddball check. I don't know if they ever met the family again or they've even heard us tell the story. I don't know. But, you know, it was a check that they wrote out. And it was a weird amount, you know, an odd, uneven, you know what I'm saying, not rounded up or whatever. And we just sort of chuckled the fact that, you know, they collected this out of the cushions and the drawers and the piggy banks and whatnot.
Right.
And so yeah, it would make sense. All right, that's exactly what they collected. So that's exactly what they wrote the check for. But, you know, probably people in most circumstances would just write some even amount. If you collected $137.13, you would write $140 or $135, you know, it would just be even. But it was that specific amount, and we just sort of chuckled like, you know, that's, you know, praise God, thank you, we're very grateful. But it was kind of, it was amusing to an extent. And, but then I think it was the next day or the next week, we got the electric bill. It was that exact amount. It was the exact amount of that check that was sent. And, you know, who could do that? How do you explain that? So all the atheists out there, you know, coincidence and whatever. Okay. You got to stretch that, man. To come up with a coincidence like that. So who could do that, right? It's God saying, I'm with you. You stood for me. I haven't hung you out to dry. Keep standing for me, and I'll keep standing for you. And then we saw that. I mean, that was just the beginning, and we've seen that over and over and over and over again. I mean, God blesses us abundantly, you know, beyond what we need. However, there's always those moments where it's so exact and so precise that there's nobody you can blame but God. And it's like he's sending you he's texting you to say, hey, it's me. I'm still with you. Right. If it was, I'm blessed and you got all, you know, it's over and above always what you need. You might start losing connection with the fact that that's coming from God and that he's involved. You know, you might start to think this is my efforts and I'm doing this and I'm so good. But when he does it in such a way where there is no explanation for this outside of, how does this even happen? So absolutely, over and over again, when we stand for what's right, God gets involved and he makes a way.
That's right. That's right. And that's our heart's cry in this story, you know, is that a nation, you know, the church body, nationally, internationally, you know, this was a global storm, you know, would recognize that there are those that came out of this absolutely victorious and unscathed by the hands of the enemy.
Yeah.
And that's why the movie needs to get out. People need Amen. To see, you know what? We stood, God moved. We never anticipated a movie, you know? We didn't say, hey, we're going to stand and hope to God one day it becomes a movie. Even that was supernaturally organic, the way the Spirit of God put that together.
Yeah.
And so we don't know what he's going to do when we actually walk in Ephesians 6, having done all, stand. And that's where we're at. And
it's been amazing. It's been a great journey. It's been great getting connected with you and your amazing, amazing family. Again, you're in Truth and Consequences, New Mexico. It's Hope. Tell me the name of your church so I know I'm getting this right.
New Hope Revival Church.
Revival Church. I did say that right. We've been there many times, preached. Go if you're out there listening, if you're anywhere in the area, and you travel and preach, evangelize. So you're in a lot of places. So if Pastor Caleb Cooper, you hear that name coming across, go there and go to the church. And your family's amazing. You guys have done an amazing job with those two kids. They are unbelievable. So smart. Your girl is so precocious. She's like a grown woman in a little person's body. She's such a trip, man. She cracks me up. So amazing. And I don't want to give away. I don't want to give everything away. I want you guys to go see the movie, noncompliantmovie.com. Go check out the movie, and you'll get to see what the sheriff ultimately did. It was pretty wild. I mean, it was crazy. I don't know. It's like he got a divine download, just inspired to go the route that he went. And it was pretty amazing. And so noncompliantmovie.com, go check it out. Pastor Caleb, you guys have a website, you have social media, that sort of stuff. Where can people find you?
I think the easiest way is just calebcooperministries.com. And again, that's calebcooperministries.com. We've got books, resources, e-courses, all kinds of things happening there. So we encourage you to go visit the website.
Awesome. And you can also get the movie from Pastor Caleb as well. Christian, I want to take a quick break. I want you to play the clip again for the break, and then we're going to come back. And if Pastor has a few more minutes, I want to ask him a couple of maybe more spiritual questions here. So real quick, give us a break, play the trailer. We'll be right back.
I've got a voicemail on the church phone. The voicemail was from the New Mexico State Police, and the officer said that New Hope Revival Church is non-essential and must shut down. I knew I needed to connect with the sheriff. I knew it was the chief law enforcement of the region.
Remembered getting to attend a Chris Ann Hall seminar in Albuquerque, and she had talked about the Shire Reeves.
And I said, listen, I want to know if you'll stand for God Rags. And he looked me right in the eyes, and he goes, Pastor, I will defend you, even if it means I got to go to jail myself.
So once again, noncompliantmovie.com, you can find the award-winning documentary series, Noncompliant. That's Noncompliant 1, Noncompliant 2, The Sheriff. And nominations at the Content Film Festival, awards for, I think, Best Documentary, News and Journalism, Storytelling Director. I don't remember everything, but award-winning series. Check it out, noncompliantmovie.com. And so we're here with Pastor Caleb Cooper, which you can see in the film, stood up against the governor of New Mexico and the state police that she was dispatching to target the church and shut the church down. Pastor Caleb refused to do that and had a Sheriff Glenn Hamilton, amazing, amazing sheriff and man of God, and we really appreciate him. And he stood. He took his oath seriously. Pastor Caleb, I want to ask you, obviously you're a pastor, and you minister to people every day, and the mission is about souls. So I was talking to this fellow, I run into a bunch of, and I don't want to sound ugly, but people kind of in their head where they intellectualize everything, and it seems a lot of people I run into, one of the biggest problems or the biggest sort of difficulties in perspective is they treat spiritual matters like a smorgasbord, you know, like a buffet where they want to take what fits their conceptions and kind of make a God for themselves and take what they like and reject what they don't like. And so this guy approaches me, I forget where we were, one of these states, and he's got all these crazy questions and shocked that I believe the Bible and believe the gospel. And he kind of veers off into the, you know, I start talking about origins and the questions of sin. And he said, well, you know, the Buddhists, they don't even deal with origins and you know, and this doesn't deal with sin and all this kind of stuff. So it's like, those aren't really important questions. And I'm thinking, who told you those weren't important questions? Right. So what's your take on that? I mean, is the question of origin and the question of sin important? Is important we know where we came from? Should people be trying to answer that question? And the issue of sin, is that not a problem anymore? Should it be a problem? I mean, why do we need an answer to these things?
Well, JC, I mean, it's such a loaded question, but it really is a confrontational question across the earth. I'll never forget, a child came up to me one time and he said to me, he said, Pastor, where did God come from? You know how kids ask those questions, you know? And my answer was very theological, but it was interesting that he could immediately understand the answer. I said, he always was. I said, there never was a time when God did not or will not exist. And that child grabbed that revelation by faith. And I think that's the challenge we're dealing with when we're talking about origins of where mankind came from, where sin came from, the list goes on. We have to pause and recognize that anytime we dialogue about these things, it will only become a foolish dispute if faith is not the foundation. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I mean, mine and your answers are going to come from the Word of God, written over a period of 1,500 years by over 40 different authors from all walks of life. And we believe that it's the infallible, inerrant, irrefutable Word of God. And so our stance is very strong and very confrontational, because by faith, we've grabbed the full counsel of God's Word, and it's absolute to us because we serve an absolute God. And so in these dialogues, things aren't absolute to them. And so let's begin there.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. That question of faith, I'm remembering this conversation. Those that sort of intellectualize, you know, or think they're intellectualizing it, they try to categorize, oh, well, you're in the category of faith, and so that's, you know, that's silliness, that's foolishness, and then they start to give their alternative suggestions, but their suggestions are always suggestions of faith. And I think that's why when I'm in the conversation with this guy that he wanted to dismiss origins, because when you pursue that question of origin, right, it's, well, where did you come from? Okay, from here. Well, where did that come from? Where did that come from? Well, if you keep going down the question of origin, you always come to the point where you have to end up at what philosophers would call a metaphysical answer, right? You always end up with the beginning has to be something that always was. Right? Because you can't keep going created, originated here, originated, you know, source. There has to be an original source. And that defies just sort of basic physical material explanation. So something has to always have existed. Well, then, you know, they're like, oh, well, there was matter and the matter exploded and created everything. Well, where did the matter come from? Well, matter always existed. Well, that actually contradicts the science that you're now saying we're all supposed to believe and teach, which actually we do believe and teach. But then they start suggesting stuff that by their own arguments would be unacceptable. And so, you know, well, matter always existed. Well, then what caused it to then create other stuff? And how did other stuff come into existence out of this matter that always existed? Why did it always exist? So you're basically applying divine characteristics to physical matter. Right? Eternality, right? To, I mean, that's the definition of God. So you're basically making, right, a God out of matter, out of a rock, So your God is a rock.
That's it.
My God is different. Like what we would normally, I mean, they call me crazy.
Right.
Mean, my definition of God is kind of a standard God definition. You give rock existed eternally. Rock created everything. Like, that's not a normal definition of God. That's weird. I'm not the weirdo.
Right.
You are. Your God is a rock. What? So anyway.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, Romans speaks to it that man, there'll come a time when they'll reduce the incorruptible glory of God to the corruptible glory of man. And so they're taking this God, this incorruptible God, and trying to make him corruptible, whether it be creation and all this other stuff. And I like to often ask people, you know, when you study, you say there's all these religions, you know, you study Buddha, you study Confucius, you study, you know, Muhammad, and you go down these roads, but so you can dig up their bones. That's the issue right there. If 10 out of 10 people are going to die and we're all on this road to death, there's only one that declared himself to be the Son of God with power when he got up from the grave on the third day. And you visit his tomb today, it says he is not here, he's risen. And so through his death, he conquered sin. Through his resurrection, he defeated the powers of death. And so I like to ask people, JC, if you don't believe in origins and you don't want to consider the originality and the foundation of how this all began, why are you wearing clothes right now? You know, because that's what happened in the garden. Man was once covered, and I call it the Shekinah suit. He was clothed in the glory of God. And the only issue that stripped him was sin. And from that moment, he hid from God, just like many of them do, ran from God, afraid of God, and they try to cover themselves with the things of this world and then represent themselves back to God. And that's exactly what Adam did. They took the fig leaves, tried to prepare their little church outfit. You know, they got their dress and their suit all knitted up with the fig tree, go back to God like it's okay. And God wanted them in a place where, listen, you didn't even know you were naked before sin. So if sin isn't a real issue and it didn't really happen, then what in the world are we wearing clothes for?
I would say, too, because I even run into this in, you know, so-called patriot circles, libertarian circles, you know, you shouldn't judge, and it just is very offended by this question of sin. Yet these are people arguing about the dysfunction of government and tyranny and, you know, all these abuses. Like, wait a minute. If there's not a question of sin, right? What is sin? Sin is basically, you know, what's right and what's wrong. So you're saying there's no right and wrong. We can do whatever. Then how do we have any argument against anything? Why are you saying the government is bad? What's the basis of that? What's the standard of that? If there's no right or wrong, and then why do we have laws? We say that. You know, certain wrong, when you harm life or property of another person, then that deserves some sort of judgment. We have punishment, you know, and it, just the very framework of laws. Or even if you didn't have, like if you're anarchist, you know, no professional state, well, you still wouldn't accept that personally. So if there's no government, there's no cops, there's no nothing, you're in a pure anarchist utopia, but yet here's this guy who's in your commune goes and punches you in the face and takes what's yours. You would feel like you would need to do something about that. Like something would rise up in you. Nobody has to tell you. You would naturally understand that that's wrong. So, to me, the question of sin is self-evident. You can't say, "Well, we shouldn't do that." Well, the entire reality is built on that idea of right and wrong. There is a right. There is a wrong.
That's right. Well, you know, and you know, it wasn't that God created good and evil. Evil is the absence of good. You know, scientifically, light, it only shines in a straight path. I mean, man has to bend it. It only goes one way, straight. You know, darkness is defined as the absence of light. The only way darkness can exist is when there is no light in existence.
Correct.
And so when you just look at how the sun shines, darkness every single day, the rotation, the way things are, good behavior, bad behavior, you see these polar opposites here. You recognize, hang on here, God meant exactly what he said. I'm going to send, you know, the sun's going to govern the day. The moon's going to govern the night. I'll always let you know there's going to be light in the midst of this. And so I think as we recognize, even, and that's what Romans 1 says, you ought to be able to look at creation, look at the sun, look at the moon, look at the stars. Don't worship them, but know there's a God. That alone reveals that God is who he says he is. And anyone who approaches him has to believe that he is who he says he is, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And that's where the arguments and the disputes become a runaway train and a place of conflict. And we never get resolution because a man or a woman who does not have the Spirit cannot understand the things of the Spirit. They've not been born again, you know, and so.
Fantastic. Well, Pastor Caleb Cooper, New Hope Revival Church, man, we're so thankful that you stopped by the show. We're thankful that you made time for us today. So we're so gracious with your time. And, you know, many people, and not all of, you know, not everybody listens to our show or follows Chris Ann is a Christian or even a believer or whatever, but these are important questions I think everybody needs an answer to. There's not things you can just ignore and go through life without an answer to this. And I would say certainly in these days where now just about everybody that follows us recognizes there's turmoil all around us, you know, there is evidence that you're not going to be here forever. Things could get, you know, bad and you could be out of here. So you need an answer to what comes next. So these are important questions.
And, absolutely.
For us, you know, from our view, we found that answer and his name is Jesus. And
that's right.
I'm confident about today and I'm confident about tomorrow, no matter what happens, because my future in eternity is secure because of what Jesus did at Calvary. And so, Pastor Caleb Cooper, thank you for being here. This is J.C. Hall with God, Guns, Liberty Podcast. You can find us at chrisannhall.com. You can find the movies at noncompliantmovie.com. And you can find Chris Ann's training at libertyfirstsociety.com. If you can't remember all that stuff, you can search Chris Ann Hall and find her on Instagram, on Twitter, on the internet. And sooner or later, you're going to make your way to the website and you can find all this other stuff. And so we appreciate you tuning in. God bless you. This is JC, God, Guns, Liberty Podcast, and we are out.
You're listening to the God, Guns, Liberty Podcast with JC Hall.